It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Hello, everybody. It is time for episode 179 of the Ron and Brian podcast here on this this Halloween night. I don't know about you, Brian, filled to the gills with candy. I am all the trick or treaters coming through the neighborhood. It was just a very heartwarming way to drive home the fact that we have beaten this pandemic.
What was, of all the trick-or-treaters that came to your house this evening, Ron, which was your favorite costume?
You know, I'm an old school kind of guy. You know, I went with the Ted Bundy costume this kid had. Very
really?
Very original. Yeah, I didn't think, you know, kids knew about the old school serial killers, but they stepped up their game. How about yourself?
My favorite trick or treat. Now, obviously, I live in an apartment building. You'd see my apartment door back there. So we got fewer trick or treaters than I think the perception is that people who live in apartments can't afford candy. Not true. But my favorite costume was there was a just, you know, one of the kids from downstairs went as Lady Gaga in her meat dress.
Ooh.
Except this girl, because we're poor, this girl used Oscar Mayer bologna, and she was attracting cockroaches, which I thought was just, you know, I gave her an A for effort.
Right. Clearly, her family also does not have Netflix, because if she had watched Tiger King, she could have gone to Walmart to get the disposed meat to wear as her costume.
Well, it was, when is Tiger King 2 coming out?
I believe it's the 17th of November.
Do we know if it's just a full dump of the whole season, or is it one episode a week?
That I don't know. We will, we'll have to take a look into that, and I will need to get back.
All right. I would like to watch that.
All right. Well, since this is just a regular podcast, just a regular nighttime event, let's get going with our drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Food.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what is it that you are drinking tonight, my friend?
I went through my beer fridge. I was looking for something special. And what I ended up with was something that you actually gifted me with not that long ago, maybe about a year and a half ago. Pabst Blue Ribbon Hard Coffee. You know, it's the night is still young. There are still a few hours left for trick-or-treaters, so I really did not want to hit the sauce too early in the evening. So I figured I would go with the hard coffee, something that would caffeinate me while at the same time take the edge off.
Nice. Have a sip. Let me know what you think. I mean, I personally am a big fan of it. It's got like a nice alcohol YooHoo vibe to it.
Yeah.
This is 2 weeks ago. I had my hard coffee last week with my pumpkin spice latte hard coffee.
Ah, I do like that. That is like a coffee flavored YooHoo. PBR doing something right. Hopefully, in tradition of my PBR drinking, I do not end up with explosive diarrhea tomorrow morning.
I mean, it's not something you can drink a lot of, but you could have a can or two, and it's very very refreshing.
We'll see how I do.
Yes, we will see. All right, Brian. Yes.
What are you drinking?
So, Brian, you know, we like to support local. We like to support people that support friends of ours. So yesterday I headed out to Imprint Beer in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. They had been at Hoppy Halloween the week prior. And this is the brewery that introduced you, Brian, to lactose. They had those fruited sours. You drank their strawberry milkshake IPA. So I went there and sampled a few of their beers. And came home with a 4-pack of their Schmoogie Puffsicle Cotton Candy Strawberry Blueberry Milkshake IPA, clocking in at a solid 6%. Let's take a look at that clear, sweet.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, hold on. I know it's good, though. So very, very fruity. You've got the cotton candy taste to it. Brian, I know you are jealous right now.
I am
missing out. But I got a 4-pack of this. And maybe the next time you're in town, we will take a drive over to Imprint, because they do have regular IPAs, lagers, pilsners, stouts, things of that nature.
Speaking of which, while you are enjoying your beverage, I'd like to ask you, when will I be seeing you next? October was a spectacular month for Ron and Brian. I saw you 3 different times in a month. Right now, I don't have any trips scheduled to visit you. I woke up yesterday, Saturday morning, and I felt incomplete because I knew that I would not be seeing you and your lovely wife. I'm trying to figure out when will I see you again.
We'll have to make some plans. I mean, we do have, I believe, the plans to do AEW in December, so that is on our calendar. But we will need to see what we can make happen this month.
AEW.
So, Brian, it's a very slow week in racism, Brian. One page of racism. So hopefully that means maybe we've beaten racism. But regardless, it's time for This Week in Racism.
This week in
racism.
So obviously we'll be able to keep this to less than a tight 10 minutes of racism, but let's get right into it. Texans owner Cal McNair used a racist slur at a charity golf tournament held by the team in May, according to a Bally Sports report. While addressing a crowd of over 100, McNair finished his remarks by saying, quote, "I'm sorry we couldn't get together last year because of the China virus." According to the report, Cal's wife, Hannah McNair, joked about the racist remark at the event just a week after making a public visit to a local Asian community center. A Halloween display on a New Jersey home's lawn is getting a lot of attention lately because the home boasts multiple Confederate flags in addition to costume ghosts, one of which seems to resemble an image of a Ku Klux Klan member in robes. NBC New York attempted to talk with the owner of the home, but he did not want to speak, only saying that he's had the decoration for years. In Yulee, Florida, a video showing 2 white teenagers pointing at a camera and using a racial slur, with one of them wearing a white hood, was not meant to be shared outside of a small group of friends, according to a statement from Nassau County School District Assistant Superintendent Mark Durham. This after a group of more than 2 dozen parents of Nassau County students met to discuss the district's handling of the situation, calling it unfair and inconsistent. There was a fight that resulted from the sharing of the video clip, with the school suspending the students involved in the fight and the student that forwarded the clip, but not the other students that appeared in the clip. The school stated that the clip was filmed before the start of the school year by 2 students who had not yet started classes at Yulee High School, so they are unable to discipline them because of that. And a federal lawsuit filed on behalf of a Black former track coach for a Connecticut high school alleges that his firing was an act of retaliation for telling police that a student spat on him last year. The suit contends Lorenzo Millage's problems began in February 2020 when a student spit on him at a sporting event and poured water on him after spitting in it. The suit claims the principal and athletic director did not take severe disciplinary action against the student. Millage complained to police and said Neil Sullivan, the school's human resources director, became angry at him for doing that. Police did not say what became of Millage's complaint, but the suit says educators ultimately gave the student in-school suspension. And we also have a couple stories in Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
Last week, we reported on Ed Troyer, the county sheriff charged with falsely claiming his life was threatened by a Black newspaper carrier that he accused of being a porch pirate, and the charges that had been brought against him finally. This week, Washington State's Black Lives Matter Alliance has demanded his resignation. The demand for the Pierce County Sheriff's resignation comes after the alliance filed a complaint with the U.S. Justice Department and met with Seattle FBI officials. And also, the 3 white men on trial for killing Black jogger Ahmaud Arbery in February 2020 plan on using a repealed citizen's arrest statute in Georgia as their legal defense. The 1863 law, which allowed citizens to arrest someone if they suspected the person committed a felony, was repealed in May by Georgia Governor Brian Kemp after public outcry over Arbery's death. The Georgia chapter of the ACLU said the law was once used by mobs that lynched black people in more than 500 cases between 1882 and 1968. It was also the law that the three men arrested first referenced when they almost got out of being charged for the murder. So always good to use old slave laws when defending your people against killing a black man.
Basically. Slightly problematic.
Yes, just a little bit. And that, Brian, is the week in racism.
Jesus.
I think we kept it under 5 minutes that time.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There is something about Halloween. I know it is your favorite holiday. I believe that you were in a generous mood. You read those stories quickly. I tried not to interrupt you. And there's just something about All Hallows Eve. The lights are the street lights are the only thing illuminating. It is dark. It is it's a special time. And I believe that America as part of celebrating the end of the pandemic, I believe that America behaved this past week. Racism.
Just to clarify, seeing some of the comments in there, that story for that involved Nassau County, that was Nassau County, Florida, not Nassau County in Long Island. That was Yulee, Florida, that particular one.
Mm.
Just to update you. But yeah, still ridiculously racist areas regardless.
It's just kind of gross.
All right, let's get into Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
What's bothering me right now are my headphones. So I'm going to ask you to go first while I work on these headphones.
All right. Fair enough. Well, my beef this week, Brian, and again, maybe this is a first world problem, a suburban problem, what have you. But my beef is people that prefer to walk or run in the street when there is a perfectly good walking and jogging lane available to them. To clarify, we have a parkway near my house that goes obviously through a park where the township has built like a really wide, nice jogging and walking track with various exercises you can do along the lines. And for whatever reason, there are a group of people that insist on not using that and then running in the street on the opposite side of the road where there is basically no shoulder even, and just backing up traffic because obviously people don't want to run over people that are just running in the street. But it aggravates me because, you know, the town, again, there's areas where you can't run. They literally have provided you a running area and you decide to just be in the road. Very aggravating.
Now, but do you believe that this is because there's so many people running in the running area that this is why they are, you know, due to the onslaught of humanity? That I would
understand if that were the case. There was yesterday literally no one on the running path. Everybody was in the road.
Okay, that's valid.
Yes, I thank you. Thank you for validating my feelings.
Yeah, no. You have a right. You are correct in that.
Yep. Brian, now that you have your headphones fixed, what's bothering you this week?
Oh, I was at the gym yesterday. I mean, I think it's very clear, you know.
You look swole today. If I had to pick a word, you look swole.
Oh. Nice. What's bothering me is that I saw multiple people using machines and not wiping them down after they were done. And first off, putting aside just the grossness of their sweat, going on, but now we are still in a pandemic. There is still a virus going on. We are, people are being asked to spray and disinfect machines when they are done using them. And I saw multiple people using machine, then stepping up and walking away without wiping it down afterwards, without disinfecting it. That actually bothered me almost to the point where I was willing to confront somebody over it. But I chose wisely, as those people were, the two people I was thinking of, were both way bigger than I was.
There you go. I mean, even prior to the pandemic, it was just good form to wipe down the machine after you use it, even more so now. And it's funny because someone had posted a poll on LinkedIn this past week, and their thing was, oh, you know, I never really wipe down equipment after I'm at the gym. And like everyone was like, oh, yeah, I don't do it either. And it was like, well, that's fairly horrible. Like, you should do that. It's just considerate. That's all I can say.
It's pretty fucking gross.
I validate you as well this week.
Thank you.
Also validated this week, Pfizer, as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, issued an emergency use authorization this Friday for their Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children 5 to 11. This is the first COVID-19 vaccine authorized in the U.S. For younger children. Again, I think the ploy saving Moderna for those of us a little bit, I don't want to say more worthy, but well, all right, more worthy. Can I announce, Brian, what I will be doing on Friday?
Ron, what will you be doing on Friday?
I will be going to get my Moderna booster shot this Friday to amplify the amazing protection that I already have. It's been, we're going on 8 months. Since my second shot. So, and I still meet the pre-existing conditions. So I feel I should go and just make sure I'm in a safe place.
Ron, can I tell you what I will be doing Wednesday at lunchtime?
Sure.
I will be going to get my third shot of Moderna as my booster shot, not because I feel I need to, not because I feel that I require any additional layer of protection. I mean, Moderna is the gold standard. But when you told me that you were going on Friday, I sat there and said to myself, how can I beat him to the punch? I found a place in Chinatown that is giving Moderna shots, and I will be going to get my booster Wednesday afternoon. So this way I will be glowing 2 days before you do.
That is impressive, my friend. That is impressive. I read an interesting article the other day talking about how scientists are now hoping that COVID-19 can kind of eventually become something similar to the common cold, where after enough of society gets it, it becomes something that you just catch like a flu or a cold virus and doesn't, you know, have all the fatalities or the long-term, long-haul damage and things of that nature.
Now, what would lead them to say, I mean, are they saying that they believe that the disease will get less dangerous? Or do they, you know, they think that with all the vaccinations, with the natural immunity, with the antibodies being passed around through unprotected sex, do they believe that that's what will make the COVID-19 not as damaging to society, or do they just think it's on its own going to get better?
So kind of on a long-term basis, you know, as long as it does not continue to mutate into the various variants that it has so far, basically, you know, it will start with a mix of vaccination and herd immunity. Also for children as well. Children may not have the receptors, but apparently what children do have are, I guess the best way to describe it is advanced nasal passages, where if the COVID-19 particles get caught in the whatever these things are in your nasal passages, children, their body can detect it earlier and also start developing the antibodies earlier. They've also started to find in previous versions of the coronavirus is that children, you know, would catch coronavirus 4 to 5 times without having any symptoms and would develop a natural immunity to early coronaviruses. The thing to keep in mind is coronavirus has been around since 1986. So there has been a number of studies that have gone on for previous versions of the coronavirus. And so it's really just a case of whether COVID-19 continues to advance in the same way that that these prior COVID versions have. But again, things like the Delta variant, the Mu variant kind of can change that. So we shall see what happens. We shall also see if Brian ever makes his way back in. He seems to be having some headphone issues. But again, so the FDA vaccine advisors for Pfizer, they voted 17-0 with one abstention on Tuesday to recommend the emergency use authorization. Pfizer said a clinical trial showed its vaccine provides more than 90% protection against symptomatic disease among children, even at 1/3 the dose. And the company hopes the lower dose will reduce the risk of any side effects. I'm not getting any sound from you now. I don't know where your microphone is.
I'm having a little audio problems. You know what happens?
There we go.
I'm going to be honest with you. As the day progresses, my ability to use electronics lowers. If we were recording this during the daytime, I would be spot on.
However,
it's deep into the night as we're recording this. So clearly, my ability to figure out how to transfer my headphones from these, which were not working, over to my large bad boys. Look at those grays. Mm-hmm.
Looking sexy, my friend.
Thank you. Now I can hear you. Now my microphone works. Have they tried giving full doses to children? Everyone's worried about the negative side effects, but have we thought about the positive side effects? Like children growing at rapid speeds, children gaining superhuman strength, ability to lift cars, maybe children able to put phones and electronics down without needing to pick them right back up again. I mean, have we thought about the positive side effects?
I don't know. We'll have to reach out to the scientists and see what they come up with.
Now, next question: Have you read anything about Johnson & Johnson being approved for children?
I have not.
So the brown standard is even browner, is what you're
saying.
The brown
standard continues to be a dark brown.
So brown. So freaking brown.
Up in your neck of the woods, Brian, New York City, 26% of municipal employees in New York City were still unvaccinated following a Friday deadline that mandated workers get the COVID-19 vaccine. That equates to more than 26,000 workers that have not uploaded proof of their vaccination status and will face unpaid leave as a result. The mandate did result in vaccination rates going up for police officers, garbage collectors, firefighters, and whatnot, but still not complete. On Thursday, 76% of officers, firefighters, and garbage collectors were vaccinated. On Friday, that number went up to 83%. There's still lawsuits in New York City and across the country with police departments and other city workers fighting government COVID-19 mandates.
Outrageous is the wrong term. This has been a big story here in New York this week. Pretty much the first story on every local news is the upcoming deadline for the mandates in terms of municipal workers. The police officers union, the fire department union, not so much the teachers union, but I think the one that's primarily is the FDNY. And what I find very upsetting is the word, is that they are, instead of sitting there saying, listen, are people just, we don't believe you should be forced to do something. We're believers of individual rights. This is an experimental vaccine.
This is not a vaccine.
Anyway, but it's the scare tactics that these unions are using, which is getting up there during press conferences and be like, this city's going to things are going to be burning. We are not going to be able to be responding. You will not be, your homes will burn. And it's like, well, are you taking any responsibility in that? You're not encouraging your people to get vaccinated. You're encouraging your people to leave their jobs. You're absolutely supporting them in doing so. That's what's going to cause this. It's not the mandate.
And what's funny also is in the past, I think most recently 2017, when, the New York police, they didn't officially go on strike, but there was an increase in call outs. There was, they decreased the amount of tickets and things. And crime rates actually went down due to the less policing, and violent crimes went down as well. But New York City does have to prepare for a loss of workers from the mandate, with the fire department ready for 20% fewer fire companies and 20% fewer ambulances. So don't set anything on fire. Don't get hurt in New York City.
Listen, and I was also going to say something else, which was that you know, since last summer during the protests about police, I don't want to say brutality because that's not really the right word. Last summer during the unrest that was going on, there's absolutely been an effort, a concerted effort to pull back in terms of the level of protection that the police are offering New York City. Crime rates have absolutely gone higher. The city's been fine. Don't get me wrong. It's not been fine for everyone. A lot of people are having the reality of their life in the city has absolutely worsened, but not for everyone. And I don't think it's going to be much different.
Okay.
I don't.
Very distressing news. I know for you, Brian, being a huge fan of this gentleman, John Bon Jovi, testing positive for COVID. He was fully vaccinated. We have another breakthrough case here. Backed out of a Miami Beach concert minutes before he was supposed to take the stage. He was supposed to be performing at the Lowe's South Beach for a Halloween acoustic performance when his brother took the stage and said that John had just tested positive after the band took a rapid test. John apparently feels great, but would be going to bed instead of performing.
Shot in the arm, and I'm to blame. I've got COVID, and I'm John Bon Jovi.
The other members of the band who tested negative stayed and played their set for the crowd, which that I would like to see video of.
Oh, wait a second. So his band played without him?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, she's a little runaway.
I don't think Richie Sambora was there. So I'm sure even that might have helped, but I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
Billy making a good bad medicine reference.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have a genuine real question to ask.
Yes.
What was he doing taking a rapid test? He's fully vaccinated. I imagine everybody in that band also was.
I guess perhaps, you know, it's very difficult to say because he was in Florida. So one would imagine that, you know, it wasn't mandatory, but perhaps the venue that he was performing at may have required it. Apparently it was a 3-night event there in Florida called Runaway Tours Halloween Weekend Getaway. This was the second 3 nights, but potentially, you know, this could have been a prerequisite from the either the hotel that they were at or the promoter to get rapid testing for all individuals.
Jesus, I can't imagine. Okay, one Bon Jovi concert's got to be bad. I cannot imagine going to see Bon Jovi 3 days in a row.
I don't think he was all 3 nights. I think it was a series of different concerts over the 3 nights. And he was just scheduled to perform on the Saturday night.
Oh.
Perhaps.
Sorry. Sorry.
I apologize. Sorry. Should have had that queued up a little bit more. But Brian, more important than John Bon Jovi is the question, what are you watching?
Oh, what am I watching? Well, as we spoke about last week, Curb Your Enthusiasm returns season 11. Don't act impressed. We know you've never seen an episode of it. You're not watching it. So I watched it this past week. Absolutely a great episode. I highly recommend it. Not one of the best episodes, but the guy's done 10 seasons. But it was just really good to see another another season of Curb with all your favorite characters, Leon, Jeff, Albert Brooks,
Brockmire,
Susie,
Curb.
Brockmire. Oh, yeah. I love that show. Anyway, and also I watched two episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. I watched the episode with Rob Black and his XPW.
Oh, yeah.
Which I that was never heard of.
Insane from what, I've heard.
Well, what I found insane was the fact that he was also a pornographer. And yeah, I had that how do I put this mildly? I had that low moment when I put the show on and I started watching it, where I realized I had no knowledge of his wrestling federation, but I was quite familiar with the pornography that he was doing at the time. The names of the actresses that were quite familiar to me, the movie references they made, I said, I believe I've seen some of that. Not one of my prouder moments.
I mean, there definitely was a time when there was a crossover between porn and pro wrestling. In mm-hmm. fact, I do remember, Philadelphia-based wrestler Blue Meanie at one point got into really great shape. He was calling himself the Blue Boy at that point, and he was dating, I believe, Jasmine St. Clair, and it's like she was his valet, and there were some storylines with him that she was involved with. So there definitely was some crossover in, you know, late 90s, I think it was.
Well, I think that was when wrestling kind of embraced the which word I'm thinking of.
It was the Attitude era of WWE at that point, I believe.
When you say Attitude, I don't know what that means.
They refer to it as the Attitude era, like with The Rock and Stone Cold, and when it really got like PG-13 to R rated.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, it you know, getting into it as a kid, it was very much driven. It was it was an innocent age. Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, the Iron Sheik,
Nikolai
Volkov, Ivan Putski. Yes.
The Wild Samoans.
Yes. Taka and Tiki.
George the Animal Steel, another good reference.
Mr. Fuji, like that was. But Fuji. Then I just remember, like, suddenly it just became women. Women literally wearing lingerie in the ring, and I was just like, what the fuck happened? Anywho, but I really wasn't paying attention to wrestling all those years. Okay. I was waiting for the arrival of the Messiah, Tony Khan, friend of the show, by the way.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
So I found that very interesting just because of the craziness that wrestling seemed to have gone through during those years.
Understood.
But I'm glad that it's a much safer environment. And that pornography is not involved in something family friendly like professional wrestling. Ron,
well, I will attempt to watch an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm before next week.
Okay. You should watch the first one. Watch episode one, season 11. It is about Albert Brooks, the famous comedic actor, deciding that he wants to arrange a funeral while he's alive so he can watch everybody make their comments about what a special person he was.
I feel that's a storyline that's been done in other shows before.
Ron, it is the year 2021 of our Lord. There really aren't many original ideas left.
All right. Fair enough. I will give you that.
What are you watching, Ron?
So this week I watched the latest movie in the Paranormal Activity universe, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin, exclusive on the Paramount Plus network, which I signed up for a 7-day free trial just to watch the movie, and will cancel it before the $4.99 charge kicks in because the platform just looks god awful. It's impossible to find anything. But I did watch it. It was okay. I mean, are you a fan of Paranormal Activity? The movie?
I don't remember. What was Paranormal Activity? That was the one where, like, there was like ghosts in the room and whatnot.
Yeah, it was one of those found footage type movies. And, the first one was with the girlfriend and the boyfriend that had just moved into the house and a lot of stuff moving around. And
I think else. I saw one of those in the movie theaters. I don't remember which one. I don't remember. I was okay. I remember.
I think this is maybe the sixth one. And again, it was okay. It centers around a woman who had been given up at birth, left at a hospital, come to, through a 23andMe test, find that she was connected to an Amish family. And so she goes back to connect with them and live on their farm for a few days while shooting a documentary. And not everything is what it seems. So.
Now, at any point during her stay with the Amish family, does she ever realize that she had actually been born, conceived as a twin, and then absorbed her twin into the back of her head, which comes out and starts killing people?
You're mistaking that with another movie. And no, that is not this storyline.
That was one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen. And I only watched it because you told me to, Ron.
Understood. I would say Paranormal Activity, good movie to watch if you are utilizing your free trial of Paramount Plus. And then I also watched on Netflix the new movie with Jake Gyllenhaal called The Guilty, whereas Jake Gyllenhaal plays a police officer in California who is kind of on desk duty after killing a kid in the line of duty and is working as a 911 operator and takes a phone call from a woman who says that she has been abducted from her children by her ex-husband and he must try to track her down and help her. It is shot basically completely from his viewpoint. So it is literally an hour and a half of you looking at Jake Gyllenhaal acting. There are a few characters in the 911 call center that he interacts with, but a lot of it takes place with him just on the phone with various individuals as well.
Does he take his shirt off at any point?
He does not. And I was a little disappointed with that because he's wearing a tight shirt. So you can see he's fairly buff. Right. And he's been hitting the gym, maybe not as hard as you've been hitting the gym, Brian, but he's been hitting the gym nonetheless. Decent movie. I would say if you've got an hour and a half to kill and you're a Jake Gyllenhaal fan, I would watch it. Slightly interesting twist in the movie. And then wraps up in a, kind of wholesome way, I guess you could say. So again, if you've got an hour and a half to kill and you like the Jill, as I like to say, check it out. The Guilty.
So if he doesn't take his shirt off, at any point does he use spit as lube while bottoming for Heath Ledger?
He does not in this particular movie. And
damn it.
I feel maybe that's the director's cut. So maybe just keep an eye out for that when that comes out.
Of course. Okay. Understood.
But I think that was all I really watched this week.
Yeah, I didn't really watch that much.
There seems to be a lack of, and this is why it's good that that Tiger King is coming back in 17 days. There seems to be a lack of good content on the streaming services at the moment. We're kind of in this in-between phase. When we're waiting for a lot of shows to come back.
I think what we're seeing here is the effect of the pandemic. You know, the stuff that came out a year ago had probably already been filmed, socked away. It's only a matter of time before things that we, you know, want to see return, such as Cobra Kai.
Correct.
Hawkeye, I believe, is the next movie in the Marvel Triniverse.
TV show, actually, on Disney Plus.
Okay. And then I believe that the stars-packed movie, I believe it's the first of a trilogy, Boba Fett, will be on Disney.
Another TV show, but yes. The Book of Boba Fett, I believe you're thinking of. But yes, Cobra Kai comes back on December 31st.
And there's by the way, Cobra Kai is a terrible show. I just want people to understand that. I am not.
It is total cheese. It is just 80s, 90s nostalgia reliving in the 21st century.
But the thing is I've already put two seasons in. I have to watch number three.
Season four, I think.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Really?
Ron?
Yes.
Can you tell people what we were going to be doing tonight in just under an hour?
So we are going to be having our monthly pajama party for our Patreon subscribers. That is taking place at 9:30. We always encourage people to rate, review, subscribe, but also throw us a few bones on Patreon. So if you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com in the upper right-hand corner, you can join and figure out how you can watch us live. We are having another episode of Can You Beat Ron, where people will be taking me on in horror movie taglines is yes. The challenge. I don't think you've shared the Google slide deck with me yet, so I will need that.
The reason why I have not shared it with you is because I do not want any accusations that you have had previous access to it. I even included a sample in the beginning, so this way you could test out the Google slide without actually going into the actual contest. We've got 15 rounds of movie taglines where we are going to be giving the tagline for the movie that was used in the promotional materials when it was released. You have to guess the name of the movie. You for everyone that you guess correctly, you will get a point. And if you get more correct than Ron, you cannot tie Ron. You have to correct. Beat Ron. This
you
game
have
is not
to be the man. To beat the man, you have to be the man. Or to Ron beat, is, man, beat the man. One or the other.
We've been doing this for, this will be our third Can You Beat Ron. So far, Ron has not lost. There are plenty of valuable charities that are out there. But join our Patreon. Come on after dark. Beat Ron. And we will make a $25 donation to the charity of your choice.
All right.
Also, yes. Also, it helps with some of the costs that we incur for the show. Like right. that scroll that Ron had up earlier, we pay 75 cents every time Ron uses it.
Well, that's why I had to turn it off. It rings up every time it goes through. So I had to take the banner down because we literally ran out of money while filming this episode.
We need some help here, people. We need some help.
Brian, thoughts yes. on Facebook this week revealing its new corporate name as Meta?
I don't actually understand the purpose of it. The cynical part of me says that they have been getting a lot of bad publicity in recent weeks. There was a whistleblower who released a lot of internal documents that showed Facebook is aware in many different ways that its products are overall detrimental to fuck you, Billy. Their products are detrimental to the American society, that not only have they decided not to take steps to correct the issues, but they actually have embraced the concept of hands off, let the market do itself, and how do we maximize profit?
Right. And it seems a lot to me. So kind of like when Google changed their corporate entity to Alphabet to kind of separate the company as a whole. So yeah, I think they're trying to separate the financial piece of it and the stockholder piece of it from the individual parts, the Facebook, the Instagram, the WhatsApp.
Their whole business comes from the Facebook website.
It's so meta, Brian.
I know they're talking about this Oculus thing and the 3D and the AI and whatnot, but they're making their money off of the data collection from Facebook users, people who have Facebook on their computers, have allowed the cookies that then follow the users as they go through the internet onto the dark web, into Pornhub, onto Xhamster, onto Xvideos. This has got to stop.
I'm just going to let you go on and on.
I figured I was going to preempt before I was going to get to dirtyyellowfeet.com.
Well, and now we're going to have a metaverse is apparently the long-term plan, because everything has to be a universe. And that's when a organization really creates a verse or a universe, I think that's when you can really acknowledge that they've run out of original ideas.
Hasn't Marvel been calling it the Marvel Universe lately?
case in point. Well, I think they were the first to do it, and then that it became a thing for everybody. Everything became a universe. So if you follow a form of entertainment, and they all of a sudden start referring to a universe, just know that it's probably time to hop off at that point.
So are you implying that the Ron and Brian universe is going to not go over well when we roll it out later on?
I'm just saying people just need to, you know, sometimes it gets pulled off well, like the Marvel universe is successful. But I would say that the DC universe, less so.
Oh, DC sucks.
There you go.
That's all.
Let's see. What other stories do we have here? Oh, we've got fans calling on Disney to ban raunchy shirts from their parks after a post that went viral. And we will, let me pull up a photo of the post here.
So the concept with Disney is that people are supposed to be in this non-sexual environment, but their princesses are all smoke shows.
Right. So the photo that went viral was of a couple at Disneyland or Disney World, one or the other, and the man is wearing a t-shirt that said I gave her the D in the Disney font, and the woman saying I wanted the D.
Yeah, what's inappropriate about this? She wanted to go to Disney World, and he said I'll give you a trip to Disney World. I don't understand what is suggestive in any way about this. Now, to me, what's more suggestive is the woman in the back with the mullet wearing the Captain America shield on her chest.
So clearly these are people not having a sense of humor.
Right.
I'm more offended in the fact that it's just not overly clever versus the fact that it's possibly inappropriate.
See, I think that this is more clever than the shirt I wore to Disney World when I went 2 years ago, which was Mickey Ate My Ass.
I attended a few years back, and I had a t-shirt, and it said free candy with an arrow pointing down, and I got kicked out for that. And I still because I used to have that for Halloween, and I would carry the bucket that I would hand out the candy from, and it would be waist level. And I think it was misinterpreted, my t-shirt. So I was always a little upset with that.
What I find most outrageous is the fact that, you know, we live during a time of personal freedoms. And if I don't have the freedom to wear what I want to Disney World, then it's the beginning of the end times.
No, without a doubt. You know what you do have the freedom to do, Brian? You have the freedom to week after week pick nothing but winners in the National Football League.
I've got to
give you props. Your picks in the Atlanta Carolina game and the Cincinnati Jets game, spot on. 2-0 again, leaving you perfect for the season. How do you do it?
I look at the games, I look at the lines, and it just jumps off the page. It was very clear in that Bengals Jets game, which way it was going to go. I thought that the Panthers Falcons, I thought that was going to be tougher. It turned out to be a lot easier of a game. But if we're going to be sitting there putting my picks under a microscope, I think we should be looking at you, Ron. You also went 2-0 during week 8. Seahawks Jaguars, you saw that line, scoffed and said, please, I could do this in my sleep. And then the Bills laying 11 over the Dolphins. You said that you weren't completely positive about it. You were only about 97% sure of the way that you went, and wasn't even close.
No.
Once again, Ron, 2-0, 8 weeks. We are continuing the trend of picking NFL games perfectly. Listen, I'm surprised that Vegas has not reached out to us.
Nope. Who do you like, Brian? Since this Sunday night is almost over, we are almost out of week 8 of the NFL season.
Sure.
Who do you like in week 9?
Week 9, I like the Ravens -6 over the Vikings, and I like the Raiders -2.5 over the Giants. Those are my locks.
I gotta say, that Raiders game, it looks like a trap game for the Raiders, and I think it's ballsy of you to pick them, and I hope it pays off for you.
Listen, I'm all about traps. I'm all about Venus fly traps. I'm all about bear traps. I'm all about
my fly trap. No. Are you all about my picks of the week?
Who do you have?
I have two games that I love next weekend. Dallas, favored by 7 against the visiting Broncos. Take Dallas minus 7. And then the LA Rams have the Titans coming to town. The Rams are minus 5.5. Take that all day long. Remember, bet with your head, not over it, as we always recommend.
Of course.
Now, Brian, you sent this over to me asking if this is something that I would do. This is in New York City's Hudson Yards. It is debuting the world's highest outdoor building climb. Let's pull up a photo of this here. It is apparently there's a 1,300 foot tall skyscraper in Hudson Yards in Midtown, and you actually climb up the side, the outside of the building, yes, with no windows, any other protective barriers.
You're hooked on. You are hooked on through through a latch onto your back through a rope, and you are actually going to be climbing the outside of that building.
So it begins at the building's 100-story high edge observatory, and then you climb up to a close to 1,300-foot high perch called the Apex near the tower's crown. Now, while it looks relatively safe, I mean, it basically looks like you are going up a staircase on the side of a building. I would say this is one big hell no for me. I am not a fan of heights, number one. I don't mind being inside a building that is high, but I don't feel that you could get me up the side of this building.
Do you think it would be possible to unlatch yourself once you've started?
I mean, I guess anything's possible, but I would think from safety's sake, you would not be able to, you know, detach yourself.
Because they built that ugly thing in Hudson Yards, the Vessel, which was basically this gigantic art installation that was immediately seized upon by suicidal New Yorkers who were climbing up and then jumping to their death. So I'm wondering if people are going to look at this as an opportunity for a surefire way to fall 1,300 feet to your death.
That would be a question. But if you would like to do this, all it takes is $185 for a ticket. If you don't want to climb on the building, you can stick to the edge, which is a viewing platform, 1,131 feet up, that is enclosed by glass paneling, where general admission starts at $36 for adults. And then you can step out onto a portion of glass flooring for an added thrill. But again,
even that sounds like a hell no.
This is that's a big no for me. You will not see me up there.
No.
All right.
No.
Brian, before we run out of time here, let's not miss out on our dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
So, Brian, who are you bringing to the table as your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
Ron, can you please post a photo of Bernadette Elaine Elder, who went by the nickname of Joy? I'm not really sure why or how she came up with the nickname of Joy. But ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at, or for those people listening to the audio portion of it, we are looking at a photo of Bernadette Elaine Elder. Died this past week of COVID. She was from Florida. Go figure. Professionally, she was a jewelry designer who designed and sold Christian jewelry, which was pretty much just your standard hippie jewelry, but she gave it names that were reminiscent of holy spirits. But more importantly, of late, she'd become a strident anti-vaxxer. Very active on social media, where she would post videos, sometimes as short as 20 minutes, something's going on, for over 2 hours of ramblings, where she preached natural immunity. She preached the value of ivermectin. She preached the fact that the COVID vaccine was detrimental to people's safety. And what she did not include was preaching the fact that she was not immune to this disease, catching it earlier a couple of weeks ago, passing away this past week of COVID-19.
All right. A very good candidate to bring for our dead anti-vaxxer of the week. But if I may share my candidate this week, this gentleman right here is Paul Kendall, age 74, from Anchorage, Alaska. He ran for office several times up there in the past 10 years. In 2012, he ran for Alaska State Senate and lost. In 2016, he lost to Lisa Murkowski in the Republican primary. In 2018, he ran for mayor of Anchorage and lost. But he was an anti-mask individual. He was, of course, not vaccinated. Surprisingly, not a big social media guy. So he would do most of his rants in person. He went viral a few weeks back prior to his passing, where he attended an Anchorage assembly meeting to protest mask mandates, yelling at people and calling one of the homosexual members of the Anchorage assembly a cocksucker. And then surprisingly, he comes down with a touch of the COVID and ends up passing away at the age of 74. I will say, as we have seen case numbers start to come down in a lot of areas of the country, we are also seeing fewer and fewer dead anti-vaxxers each week. So hopefully...
Well, that's because they're all dead.
Right. Hopefully we can retire this bit soon. But until then, we pledge to bring you our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Oh.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Speaking of people we have lost, Brian, who do we have in celebrity obituaries?
First off, my hearts go out to the Red Sox universe. Beloved announcer, Jemmy. Fucking hell. Boy, these hard coffees have really gotten to me. I mean, it's late in the day. My brain is not at peak performance. But Jerry Remy, age 68, succumbed to his battle with cancer. Jerry had been a Red Sox broadcaster since 1988. He actually played for the team for 10 years, was inducted into the Red Sox Hall of Fame, or as I like to call it, a fucking garbage bag, in 2006. He had actually been diagnosed with cancer 7 times since 2008, most recently in 2018. Earlier this year, he was started to scale back his announcer responsibilities. He threw out the first pitch earlier this postseason during the Red Sox-Yankees wild card. Let's not talk about that game ever again. Unfortunately, Jerry Remy did not survive, and our hearts go out to his family. For all we know, we are unaware of his vaccination status. So unfortunately, the anti-vaxxers cannot seize upon his death as more evidence for them to not get vaccinated.
Also, Snoop Dogg's mother, Beverly Tate, passing away. Snoop Dogg posts a tribute for her on Instagram. She had been hospitalized earlier this year for undisclosed reasons.
COVID.
Again, passing away. So our thoughts go out to Snoop D-O-double-G in his time of loss. And in the Trump world, Ivana Trump's fourth husband. How many husbands has she had, by the way?
I'm going to say 4.
All right. So her fourth husband, Italian actor Rossano Rubiconda, passed away after a year-long battle with melanoma at the age of 49. That is unusual. Not a lot of people pass away from melanoma.
Well, he probably was poisoned by Donald Trump's henchmen. So, allegedly.
He married Ivana back in 2008. They divorced in 2009, but continued to see one another on and off for the following decade. So she has to have had many more husbands, because that was 2009. I would be very curious to see who else there is. But
do we want to place any odds on what the likelihood was that he thought he was marrying Ivanka and then showed up to the wedding and it was Ivana, and the disappointment was real, but he had to go through with it?
It's very possible there could have been some confusion there.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, Brian, I think this is a good time to perhaps wrap up the main podcast and to prepare for After Dark. I need to get my mental acumen ready.
Yes. Yes.
So it is always, people bring... people have brought their B game previously in Can You Beat Ron? I feel like potentially people could bring their B+, A- game. I still feel confident in winning. I go into this expecting a W, and I will expect nothing less from myself. And so if you want to get in on this, join us. Become a member of the Patreon. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. We will be recording this in about a half hour, the special Halloween edition, the special pajama jammy jam we do the last Sunday of each month, where we allow you, our Patreon subscribers, to come on and join us. And we will have Can You Beat Ron coming up.
Can you beat Ron?
Can anybody destroy Ron in the contest? During our pajama party in After Dark.
So we will find out shortly. Brian, anything before we wrap up this episode?
The only thing that I can think that I have not said during this episode that I wanted to say coming into it is just I love you with all my heart.
Love you too, my friend. So let's wrap this up. We will catch our Patreon subscribers in a half hour. Everyone else, we will catch next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next.